الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أفضل الصيام بعد شهر رمضان صيام يوم شهر الله المحرم، وأفضل الصلاة بعد الصلاة المكتوبة صلاة في جوف الليل، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders and friends, we praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having granted us this great gift of Iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us with Iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us in this dunya with Iman. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us in the day of Qiyamah with the people of complete and kamil Iman. We also send durood and salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us all recite durood sharif once. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa sallam. When the Imam sahab, my friend, Mawlana Huzaifa, when he phoned me last Friday to tell me that I must give this bayan, I told him, Mawlana, you're joking. He said, no, I'm not joking, I'm serious. I want you to give this Ashura bayan. Mashura decided that you must give the Ashura bayan. He said, he was my old friend, we were in madrasa together, so I know him very well. I kept telling him, he said, no, I'm not going to lie to you. This is serious, you must give the bayan. So I was left with no choice. You know, this, a friend in need is a friend in need. So I had to turn there to accept his instruction that to give this talk, since he's not going to be around on his behalf. Be that as it may, so a new year has commenced, new Islamic year, 1447. So when the new Islamic year commences, generally it reminds us, and the discussion is generally discussing Hijrah. Because obviously a new Hijri year, it's another year since the Hijrah had taken place. However, I do not wish to dwell too much on Hijrah. We would have heard plenty or much about the Hijrah in the Jummah Bayan in the previous talks. So I do not wish to discuss too much about that. However, I'd like to focus more on this month of Muharram itself and some other discussions relating to this day of Ashura. Although we have heard many of this before, but a reminder is beneficial for the believers. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The Quran Allah says that reminder is beneficial for the believers. So this month, Muharram, in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the hadith I quoted, أَفْضَلُ السِّيَامِ بَعْدَ شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ. The best fast after the month of Muharram. صيام شهر الله شهر شهر الله. Firstly, he refers to Muharram as the month of Allah. شهر الله المحرم. So the fasting in this month of Muharram, this is the, and it's not just an ordinary month, he's saying شهر الله, it's the month of Allah. And in fact, ulama and historians have written that in days of Jahiliyyah, before the calendar, before the new calendar, Islamic calendar was formed, or before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put the months in order, this month was not, it didn't even have a name. It was known as Safar al-Awwal. The month after this is Safar. So that Safar al-Awwal means the first Safar. And Safar al-Sani, obviously the month after this, will be the second Safar. Then is Rabi al-Awwal, Rabi al-Sani, Jamad al-Ula, Jamad al-Sani. So Muharram also didn't have a proper name. It had the name of Safar al-Awwal. But this name, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it. So that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to it as Shahrullah al-Muharram. The month of Allah, that is Muharram. Then this, the calendar also that we have, this Hijri calendar that is formed. Now, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was no calendar as such. There was no years that was, record was kept. It is the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala when he was the Khalifa of Islam. So, one of his governors, I think it was Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu ta'ala, so he wrote to, Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to write letters to his governors, those long before the days of email and WhatsApp and Telegram and whatever else we have nowadays. Right? So those days was the writing, and the messenger will carry the letter. It'll take him, depending how far it is, sometimes a month's journey to take the letter. So Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu ta'ala wrote a letter once back to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, say, Amir al-Mu'minin, we receive your letters, but the problem is, there's no date. So we're not sure, sometimes we get the two, three letters, one after the other, we're not sure which one came first, and which one is second. So then Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala decided that we should formulate a calendar, a proper calendar with a system of dates. So he said to Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, he made mashwara, asked Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, what's your opinion regarding this year? What should we do? How should we formulate this calendar? We obviously, the months of the year, that's the order that is given, that we cannot change. Muharram, Safar, Rabiul Awwal, Rabiul Thani. That order is done. That we're not going to change. Because Rasulullah SAW changed it. Already the Quraysh, what they used to do, they used to change the months. Why? Because there's four sacred months, Rajab, and then three in a row, Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, and Muharram. Now, because Allah has prohibited fighting in these months, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الشَّهْرِ الْحَرَامِ قِتَالٍ فِيهِ قُلْ قِتَالٌ فِيهِ كَبِيرٌ. That they ask you about fighting in the sacred months, say it's a very, very great crime to be fighting in the sacred months. So the Quraysh, what they decided to, when they decided they were busy fighting a war, so they didn't want to stop fighting for the sacred months, so they'll alter it. They'll change the calendar. They'll decide, okay, this month, Rajab is coming now, it's a sacred month, we'll move Rajab 2 months' time, 1 month's time, when we finish this war, then we'll bring Rajab in. Or, okay, Hajj they can't change, but then maybe Muharram is coming, that's another sacred month, we'll move it, because we want to carry on fighting our jihad, our war, whatever it is. So that's now Rasulullah SAW put, that's why in the Quran Allah says, إِنَّ عِدَّةَ شُهُورِ إِنَّ اللَّهِ إِسْنَ عَشَهْرَ شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةُ الْحُرُمِ. That we mentioned, the ayat we read in the beginning, that Allah says, إِنَّ عِدَّةَ شُهُورِ إِنَّ اللَّهِ إِسْنَ عَشَهْرَ, the 12 months of the year. إِنَّ اللَّهِ إِسْنَ عَشَهْرَ شَهْرًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. It's recorded already in the Kitab of Allah. يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ, from the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the earth and the skies. مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةُ الْحُرُمِ, from there, four are sacred. We mentioned this four sacred months. Hadith also, Rasulullah mentioned these four. The Rajab, Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, and Muharram. These 4 months of the year are sacred months. So anyway, so Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, no, we don't need to put the order of the calendar. That Rasulullah already finished too. Allah and Rasulullah finished too. But we need to start a system where we can date. How are we going to date the calendar? Where are we going to start our calendar from? So different Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala gave different suggestions. One Sahabi said, from the birth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Umar radiallahu anhu wasn't too happy with that. He said, no, that's like the Christians now, you know, before Christ and after death. We have that, we don't want that. So somebody else said, okay, you know, from the death of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, you know, that this comes to the same thing. The Christians, that's their calendar after that, AD, so many years AD after death. So we don't want that also. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala was silent. He wasn't sitting there, he was silent, he wasn't saying anything, no suggestion. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala turned to him, says, O Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, what is your suggestion? What do you think? He said, I suggest that we start, in my opinion, I feel that we start from the Hijrah. We start the calendar from the Hijrah. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala liked that suggestion. Obviously, everything was inspired from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that it was wahi, but Allah inspired them to give this opinion. And this opinion was accepted. Sahaba radiallahu anhu unanimously accepted this opinion. And this now became the calendar. It would now be dated from the Hijrah. So that's why we say so many years after Hijrah. 1447, 1447 years after the Hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the years before the Hijrah, those are regarded as the years after Nubuwwat. After the Nubuwwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So be that as it may, this was just a little bit of an introduction to this month of Muharram for us to understand the significance of Muharram. Now coming to this day that we have, the 10th of Muharram. Now, it's not really significant for this ummah. Right? It is a significant day, no doubt, but it wasn't really significant for this ummah. It was significant
from the time of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, already the significance was given. In fact, even the Quraysh in Jahiliyyah, they were not believers, they didn't believe in Islam. They didn't believe in Allah, or they didn't have the belief in the system that we have. But still, they also used to hold this day in great esteem. They used to fast also on this day. And this was the day when they used to cover the Kaaba. Hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَوْمٌ تُسْتَرُ فِيهِ الْكَعْبَةِ. The Kaaba used to be covered on this day. They used to change the khilaf of the Kaaba. Now also the big ceremony about how they changed the khilaf of the Kaaba. Obviously it wasn't like that. But they also used to change the khilaf of the Kaaba, or they put the khilaf of the Kaaba on the day of the 10th of Muharram. Then, and they used to fast. Perhaps it was because of some victory that they had earned or they had achieved in their life. So they also used to show respect to this day. And as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she says that Rasulullah used to also fast on this day, the day of, even before coming to Madinah Munawwara. So the significance for this day, you know, it is from many years before, it is before Islam. Now, when Rasulullah made hijrah to Madinah Munawwara, now his hijrah wasn't in Muharram. Ada sahaba radiallahu anhu, they made hijrah in Muharram. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached Medina in Rabiul Awwal. So Rabiul Awwal of the first year of Islam, first year after Hijrah. But the next year, the second year of Hijrah, he found that the Jews are fasting. The Jews in Medina Munawwara, Banu Qurayza, Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Nazir, they are fasting on this day of 10th of Muharram. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like we said, he was already fasting. Because it was from the days of, before he made Hijrah, it was already a day of fasting. So he was fasting, but he saw the Jews are fasting also. Now, it was his practice. It was his practice, if there was no wahi, then he would follow what the Ahlul Kitab did, because that was, he felt that they were following divine. They had divine books, so they were following a divine thing. So as long as wahi didn't come, he would follow them. Wahi came to guide him, then he would follow what wahi told him. So he had seen that they are fasting, so he went to them and he asked them that I've seen that you are fasting on this day. What is the purpose of you fasting on this day? So they explained to him, that this day, it's a day which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the Bani Israel from the, some narration state Fir'aun, and some say Allah had given them victory. Whatever it is, maybe perhaps it could have been Fir'aun, could have been some other victory, some other battle, but generally we regard it to be the day that Allah drowned Fir'aun and Allah saved them from Fir'aun. And also, so Musa alayhi salatu wasalam used to fast on this day, and we also are fasting out of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great momentous occasion. No doubt it's the most momentous occasion that we were saved from tyranny and the oppression of Fir'aun. And they also told Rasulullah, this riwayat is Bukhari Sharif. Riwayat of Musnad Ahmad, they told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also that it was the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wa sallam. The flood of Sayyidina Nuh, Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wa sallam, you know, the entire world. The whole world was covered with water at that time. Entire world, everything was flooded. The only people who entered on the boat with Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, those were the only people who were saved. Nobody else. وَنْجَيْنَا أَصْحَابَ السَّفِينَةِ. Right? Allah says, we saved the people of the ship. Everybody else was drowned. وَأَغْرَقْنَا الْآخَرِينَ. We drowned everybody else. So everybody else was drowned, and then the ship settled on Mount Judi. The Quran also talks about it. And that is where the life started again, once they settled down. So this flood had covered the entire world, and it was a day when Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was saved also. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, and he said to Sahaba radiallahu anhu, نَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِمُوسَى مِنْكُمْ نَحْنُ أُولَى بِمُوسَى مِنْكُمْ. Different wording of the narration. That we are closer to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam than you. So since we are closer to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, now we will also fast. And it became a compulsory fast. But it didn't remain compulsory for that year, because later in that year the fast of Ramadan was made compulsory. But that year Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it's going to be compulsory, so everybody should fast. Then later on, later in life, towards the end of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now somebody came to tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, we are fasting on this day of Ashura, but it's the day on which the Jews are also fasting. The Jews and the Christians, they also have the regard for this day. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, okay, in baqaytu ila qabilin, if I live till the coming year, till the year that is to come, that is now the next year, la asumanna at-tasi', I will also fast the day after, and the day, sorry, the day before, I will fast the 9th. So Ashura is the 10th, I will fast the ninth. Another narration, the Rasulullah sends him, Khaliful Yahud, oppose the Jews, Sumu, Qablaha Yawman, or Ba'daha Yawman. Or Kama Qala alayhi salatu wasalam, fast the day before, or fast the day after. So fast one day before either the 9th of Muharram or the 11th of Muharram. So this in brief is the background to this day. Now I just want to touch a little bit. We said, the hadith says that it was the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now in many, many places of Quran that Allah discusses the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. It is about 28 paras of Quran. Out of 30 paras of Quran, 28 paras of the Quran, Allah mentioned somewhere along the line something to do with the incident of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Fir'aun or the Bani Israel, something relating to the Bani Israel. So, it's a very detailed incident. We don't have time to go into all the details of this incident. But, just to take just a little bit of relating to this incident. What Allah says, وَوْحَيْنَا now, we know that Allah instructed them. Right? In different places Allah gives the wording that He had instructed them that now you must leave. Right? Take everything, take your leave, and set off for the promised land, right? Which they still so-called claiming till today, right? The promised land. The fight is over the promised land till today. So Allah told them that take your people and leave. Now Bani Israel, when Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and his father Yaqub, right? Bani Israel, the progeny of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, when they entered Egypt, Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, he came, his father, Yusuf alayhi salam called him, he told his brothers, bring my father back. Bring my father here to Egypt. How many they were? Him, father, and 12 sons. Right? 12 sons. There were only 13. 13 people of the Bani Israel. Right? Those were Bani Israel. Now this day when they were leaving, 600,000. Approximately 600,000. Obviously many years later. Despite Fir'aun slaughtering their sons. For how many years? For several years, Fir'aun was slaughtering their sons. Right? We know the background to that incident. Somebody told him that your kingdom will be lost at the hands of one of these Israeli children that are born, your kingdom will be lost at their hands. So he gave the order, slaughter their sons, slaughter all of them. Right? Then eventually, after some time, they came to the Coptics, the Egyptians. They came to Fir'aun and told Fir'aun, you know what? We're slaughtering their boys, but you know what's happening is that we're ending up the progeny. The progeny is ending because we're slaughtering the boys. How do we carry on? These people are our slaves, they are our workers. We'll be losing out on these people. So, alright, so Fir'aun understood. He said, okay, what you do is, 1 year we'll slaughter the boys and 1 year we'll leave. So Harun alayhi salatu wasalam, the elder brother of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was born in the year when they were not slaughtering the boys. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was born in the year when they were slaughtering them. Then we know that incident, famous incident, his mother took him, Allah instructed her, obviously inspired in her heart, وَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَرْضِعِهِ فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلِيهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي إِنَّا رَادُّهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَعِلُهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. That when you're fearful of him, take him and put him in the ocean. Put him in a basket and put him in the ocean. Put him in the water. May not necessarily be the ocean. Maybe it was the river Nile. Whatever it was. Take him and put him in the river. إِنَّا رَادُّهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَعِلُهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. We'll return him to you. And we're going to make him from the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, what heart must have that mother had that to take her son and put him in the river? If be a suckling infant, two, three days old, think about it. Right, those of us who are, there's grandfathers sitting here, right, maybe great-grandfathers also. Right, I'm a father, I know. Right, those of us who are fathers will know how difficult it is for the mother to leave her child for a little while. Mother has to leave her child to one cry. Then at night also the mother is sleeping. Father will carry on sleeping, he won't worry. Mother will wake up same time. The baby is crying. She'll wake up, she'll feed the baby and whatever it is, make sure the child is sick. Leave the child is crying. The child is sick at night. Father will carry on sleeping. The mother will sit with the child till late hours. Right? She's thinking what she can do for the child. Especially if the child is very sick, severely sick. Mother will sit till late hours for the child. But now what iman does mother have? That Allah instructed her, Allah inspired her to take your child and put him in the river. Put him in the water. And we'll return him to you. إِنَّا رَادُّهُ إِلَيْكِ وَجَعِلُهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِ. We'll return him to you. So what iman does mother have? she took him, and their whole family, obviously, they had to have this iman. If the Nabi is coming from that family, they had to have that level of iman. So they had this, that level of iman, they took him and they threw him in the river. Put him in the river in that basket. The child survived. Where the child ends up? In the outskirts, or the outskirts of the palace of the king, of Firaun himself. Now, I didn't intend to talk about the story. There's this part of the story, but anyway. Right, so now he was picked up. Who picked him up? They saw the basket flowing. So Firaun instructed to pick it up. فَلْتَقَتَهُ آلُ فِرَعُونَ لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا. Allah made himself that they picked him up. فَلْتَقَتَهُ آلُ فِرَعُونَ لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا. He will become the enemy and a means of grief for them. They picked him up, they didn't know. لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا. إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَجُنُودَهُمَا كَانُوا خَاطِئِينَ. Allah says, Firaun and his, and Haman, his minister, and his army, they were in error. Major error. كَانُوا خَاطِئِينَ. So anyway, now they picked him up, now they opened it, they opened the basket, they saw it's a baby, and it's an Egyptian, the Israeli baby. So that, what's the rule? The rule is the boy, Zayyad, that he must be killed. That's the rule, he must be killed. So Firaun said, اُقْتُلُوهُ, kill him. That's the rule. That's the law. Firaun's wife said, no, لا تقتلوا. Now even the person who claimed to be Allah, he had to listen to his wife. His wife said, don't kill him. He had to obey. Sorry. Okay, yes boss, I won't kill him. Right? لا تقتلوا. عَسَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعَنَا أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا. Allah says, so Allah says, what Firaun's wife said, she was a believer. She became a believer later on. Firaun didn't believe, but she believed. She brought iman in Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Her dua also is mentioned. رَبِّ ابْنِلِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ. In the 28th part, Allah talks about her dua, that, oh my Rabb, build a palace for me. رَبِّ ابْنِلِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Build for me a palace by you in Jannah. وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِي وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقُومِ الظَّالِمِينَ. And save me from Firaun and his people, and save me from the oppressed people. So anyway, so his wife said, no, don't kill him. لا تقتلوا. عَسَىٰ يَنْفَعْنَا وَنَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Perhaps we can make him a son. And he will be a benefit for us. So they kept him. Obviously the boss said, now Firaun has to bow his head and lower. One person there, two places the man has to bow his head. One in place of the barber and one in front of the wife. He has to bow his head and listen. This obviously besides Salah we're talking about. Everywhere else he has to bow his head. So Firaun also had to bow his head and said, okay, we'll keep him as a son. So they kept him, he grew up in the palace. Now, they want to feed the child. Now the mother, she was also worried. Obviously she's concerned, although she had the yaqeen that Allah will look after the child. So she told the sister, go and see what happens. Go see where the basket goes. قالت لي أختي قصي فبصرت بي عن جنوبي وهم لا يشعرون. So she went, she followed the basket. Now she saw what's happening. They took the child, they went inside. Now they're trying to feed the child. The child is hungry. وحرمنا عليه المراضع من قبل فقالت هل أدلكم على أهل بيتي يكفلونه لكم وهم له ناصحون. Now the mother, then the child, they're trying to feed the child. They call all the witnesses, different witnesses. He's not taking anybody's milk. Obviously, Allah says, Allah made it haram. This was the Nabi of Allah. Allah wouldn't feed him, wouldn't allow any muscle of haram to enter his stomach. So all the women are trying, he's not taking anybody's milk. So she went and spoke to them, and she told him, what's the problem? How can I help you? She says, no, this child here, we found him, we're trying to find a witness to feed him. We can't find anybody. She said, all right, I know. فَبَصَرَتْ بِي أَنْجُلِمِي وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلِي الْمَرَاضِعَ مِنْ فَقَالُوا فَحَرَّمْنَا عَلِي الْمَرَاضِعَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَقَالَتْ هَلَّ دُلُّكُمْ عَلَى أَهْلِ بَيْتِ يَكْفُلُونَهُ لَكُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُ نَاسِحُونَ. I'll get a family for you that will look after him, and they'll treat him well. They'll treat him well, don't worry. وَهُمْ لَهُ نَاسِحُونَ. So okay, all right, bring them. So they brought the mother. The mother came, they took the child. Immediately, obviously, that's his own mother. So he started taking to the milk of the mother. Immediately. So now Allah says, the promise, I fulfilled your promise. فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عِنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنْ. I returned him to the mother. فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عِنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنْ. So that her eyes will be at ease. And she will not grieve. And what? So she'll know that our promise is true. فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عِنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنْ. وَلِتَعْلَمَ أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. So that she will know that the promise of Allah is true. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Many people don't know this. So this was when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was born. I didn't intend to go into such detail on this story, on this part of the story. So anyway, now the time came, Allah gave instruction that now, O Musa, take the people, take the Bani Israel and go. So 600,000 of them, they set off at night. Allah has told them to leave at night. So they set off at night. وَلَقَدْ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَسْرِ بِعِبَادِي لَيْلًا. They go, take your people and you leave at night. So everything, whatever they could take with them. Obviously you can't take everything with you. Whatever you can take, evacuation order comes, you just have to take whatever you can and run. Right? That's what's happening today also. Evacuation order, take everything and run. Whatever you take and run. So they also, Bani Israel, Allah instructed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, so whatever they could take with them, they took. Now they set off. Now Firaun in the morning, he realized, the message came to him, that all these Israelis are gone. All the Bani Israel are gone. Where are they? So they realized that they escaped. So when he realized, so he took his army and he's pursuing them. Pursuing them, running behind them. Now, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and his people, they are going as quickly as possible. But now, they reach the water, the ocean, the Red Sea. So now, in front of them is the big blue sea, behind them is the Shaitan and the Firaun, the sea and the Firaun. So what do they do? So they're telling Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Inna la mudrakun. Now we're going to get caught. We finished. Inna la mudrakun. Either we're going to drown or Firaun is going to catch us. What do we do? Inna la mudrakun. So what Musa alayhi salatu wasalam replied? Look at the iman and the yaqeen. Qala kalla. Never. Never. Inna ma'iya rabbi sayahdeen. My Allah is with me, he will guide me. Look at this. My Allah is with me, he will guide me. Inna ma'iya rabbi sayahdeen. فوحينا إلى موسى أن أدرب بعصاك البحر أن يدرب بعصاك البحر وموسى عليه الصلاة والسلام take that عصا of yours and strike the water, strike the ocean, أن يدرب بعصاك البحر, strike that ocean. فانفلق فكان كل فرق كالتود العظيم. Now Allah opened up the same ocean for them. And what they thought, they're going to go inside, they're going to drown. إنا لمدركون. Either we're going to drown or we're going to be caught by Fir'aun. Allah opened it up. Now they're crossing the ocean. Inna la mudrakun. And now they went 12 pathways. Allah opened up 12 pathways for each of the east tribes. 12 tribes of Bani Israel, 12 sons of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, 12 tribes. All of you go through 12 different paths for each of them to pass through. They all pass through. And now they're going through slowly. Now Firaun is behind, he can see it. But now he knows, this is in his heart of hearts, he knows this is a divine thing. He can't do anything. There's nothing he can do. So he came till the point there and he stopped. He didn't want to go further. Now, Jibreel alayhi salam came down. He came down with a mare. Firaun, his horse was a stallion. Jibreel alayhi salam came with a mare. And he went into this part. Now, the horse of Firaun didn't want to go. Firaun's horse saw that the mare is there. The stallion. He ran into the water. Right? Opposites attack each other. Only now in this day and age, people decided that no, likes attack each other. Right? That's a separate discussion, LGBT. Right? We don't want to go into all that. But now in the 21st century, people decided that opposites don't attract each other. Likes, the same must attract each other. Anyway, so the mayor of Firaun, the stallion of Firaun, he ran into the water. Now he went, the whole army followed. And as he went, Allah closed the ocean. Now Firaun is realizing his last moments. What is he saying? La ilaha illa alladhi amanat bihi banu Israel wa ana min al-muslimin. Now he's bringing iman. I believe in the Rabb of the Bani Israel. La ilaha illa alladhi amanat bihi banu Israel wa ana min al-muslimin. I'm from the believers. But it was too late. And Firaun, he was drowned. What the Mufassirin write? That the last of the Bani Israel was leaving and Fir'aun entered and immediately the sea closed. So that was the salvation. Now the entire Fir'aun's army was all drowned at this time. So Allah gave them this salvation. Now the Bani Israel, after this, the promised land. to go to the promised land. Allah instructed them. When the promised land is what is Masjid al-Aqsa, Palestine. What is Palestine today? Kan'an, as it was in biblical terms known as Kan'an, Palestine, where Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and his family came from. So they were instructed to go back to Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem. But the people of the Bani Israel were unappreciative. They didn't follow. Now they reached nearby, maybe not Jerusalem itself. They reached another area where they had to go. Allah instructed them to go make jihad. But they refused. Why? Because you know, these people are giants. We don't stand a chance in front of the giants. So Allah said, "Udkhul al-bab." All you have to do is enter the city, Allah will grant you victory. That's all. Allah is promising you. You just have to enter, Allah will do the rest. What they said? "Idhab anta wa rabbuka faqatila inna hahuna qa'idun." You and your Rabb, you all go fight. We're staying here, we're not going anywhere. We can't manage, we can't fight against these people, so we're staying here, you all go fight. "Idhab anta wa rabbuka faqatila inna hahuna qa'idun." Compared to the Battle of Badr, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, what they told the Nabi of Allah? He said, "We are with you wherever you go." Wherever you go. The same thing, enemy is 950,000 people. 1,000 people against 313, ill-equipped, two horses, and few camels. Everybody didn't have swords also. But never mind. Wherever you want to go, the Nabi of Allah, we with you. Decide what they do. What the Bani Israel told Musa alayhi salam? "Idhab anta wa rabbuka faqatila inna hauna qa'idun." You and your Rabb, you all go fight, we staying here. Now he complained to Allah, "Inni la amliku illa nafsi wa akhi fafruq baynana wa baynul qawmil fasiqin." I only got control over me and my brother Harun alayhi salatu wasalam, nobody else. So Allah said, "Don't worry about them. Inni la amliku illa nafsi wa akhi fafruq baynana wa baynul qawmil fasiqin." Qala fa inna muharramatun alayhim 40 sana. For 40 years they won't be able to get to the promised land. But Jerusalem, they won't get there for 40 years. What will happen? Yatihuna fil ard. They'll carry on making circles. يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَلَا تَعْسَى لِلْقُومِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Don't grieve over these sinful people. They'll carry on going around in circles. So that Wadi Yatih, Valley of Tih, يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, they used to go around. For 40 years they carried on going around. They'll start off in the morning and say, "We're going to the promised land, setting off for Jerusalem." They'll start in the morning, in the evening they'll carry on going, they'll go in a full circle and they'll come back where they started. So this was the punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them. So this was just a little bit, obviously. I didn't intend to go into too much of detail regarding this incident of the Bani Israel. But it's for us to take lesson. For us to take lesson that they told the Nabi, "Idhab anta wa rabbuka faqatila inna hauna qa'idun." You and your Rabb, you go fight. We're staying here. They didn't follow the instruction. As much as it looked, the odds were against them. They're fighting Jababira, giants. They said they don't have a chance. But Allah's instruction. Allah is telling you, you just have to enter the city. Allah will do the rest. Right? And the Mujahideen today, they took this very same ayat. They're following the very same, "Fadkhul al-bab." You just enter the city, Allah will grant you victory. Right? They're using the same thing. And inshallah, we have hope. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah told the Bani Israel, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The good end is for the people of taqwa. So inshallah, we have hope here also. Like Allah saved the Bani Israel and the people of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam on the 10th of Muharram. Now these are the only two authentic, by the way. Now these are the only two authentic incidents that are reported to have occurred on this day. Now people talk about many other things. That Adam alayhi salam's tawbah was accepted, and Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, eyesight was restored. Yusuf alayhi salam was saved from the well. The dates of these are not proven from any authentic hadith, These two incidents, the day Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was saved, and the day Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was saved, these two incidents, these are proven from hadith. Other incidents, I don't know where people find this from. Perhaps there may be something, but not in my knowledge. So anyway, we have hope today also. وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Like Allah told the people of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, through Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, the good end is for the people of taqwa. We have hope today also for our brothers, the mujahideen that are fighting, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, like granted Musa alayhi salatu wasalam victory, Nuh alayhi salam also, our mujahideen also, in this day and age, they will also receive victory, inshallah. Allah will grant them victory. We make dua for them. Allah grants them, makes them happy. It's like how Musa alayhi salam was successful. We hope that our mujahideen also are successful. As Allah says, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The good end is for the people of taqwa. Now that was this, again, I didn't intend to go into so much of detail on this incident. But coming back to this, now the day of Ashura. Now, what do we do? What is to be done on this day? Okay, the first thing we know is that the Rasulullah said to fast. Fast on this day, right? One fast on this day, or the fast on this day, إِنِّي أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, I have hope in Allah, أَن يُكَفِّرَ السَّنَةَ الْمَاضِيَةِ, that it will wipe out the sins of the previous year. Right? So inshallah, the minor sins, obviously for the major sins, the tawbah is required. So minor sins, inshallah, will be forgiven on this day. And the second thing, we mentioned it earlier also, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fast the day before or the day after. So if anybody didn't fast, if he didn't fast today, the 9th, if we're fasting tomorrow, then we should try and fast on Monday, also to make it the 11th. If somebody fasts, only fasts on the 10th, we won't say something haram, but it's makruh, the fuqaha said it is makruh. So as far as possible, the person shouldn't fast on the 10th. So if you didn't fast today, then fast tomorrow and fast on Monday, inshallah. Somebody gets sick, something happens to somebody, then it's a different issue. Allah will forgive, inshallah. But as far as possible, try and fast. If you haven't fasted today, then tomorrow and Sunday, and Monday, sorry. So this is the second thing that we do, need to do. The third thing is, right, also there is great reward for even fasting in Muharram in general, besides the day of Ashura. Why Rasulullah said in the hadith that the best salah is tahajjud, and the best fast is the fast of this month of Muharram. Right? After Ramadan, obviously. Then also, another hadith Rasulullah says, a person who fasts one fast in the day of Muharram, it's like he's fasting for a whole month. So the very great reward for fasting in general in this month of Muharram, and in particular for this day of Ashura. So let us ensure that we, as far as possible, if somebody doesn't have a valid excuse, he should try and fast. Like Sahaba radiallahu anhu, it was compulsory for them. In fact, to such an extent, Sahabiyat radiallahu ta'ala anhunna, they say that even their children, they'll make them fast, and to try and distract them, if you know our children are, especially Ramadan time, how long left? How much time left? Right? So they'll give them toys to distract them, so that they'll carry on. They'll forget that they are fasting. So it's very significant. So let's try and fast if we can. So that's the second thing. The third thing, that this one I think everybody knows, right? Man wassa ala iyalihi wassa allahu kulla sana, that the person who spends extra, he spends extra on his family on this day, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him barakat for the entire year. Right? This, I don't think anybody doesn't know this virtue of Ashura. I think everybody knows this virtue of Ashura. Now, doesn't mean we're going to shopping spree. Somebody will say, no, Maulana said we must go spend extra, then we'll get barakat. I'm not saying we're going to shopping spree, or you could take a loan, or you could use a credit card, and now you could swipe your credit card out of your balance, beyond your balance, or go on OD or whatever it is. I'm not saying we must do anything of that sort. If somebody has the means, he left his shopping for the month, he left it for tomorrow, he's going to do his shopping for the month, that's not a problem, you can go do it. Right, buy a little bit extra, right? But you don't have to do that, and you don't have to go. Now people take it at the extreme: go to restaurants, go for an outing, go for holiday, spending on the family. Maulana said must spend on the family. So what do you mean? I'm not saying you must do all that, right? Buy something a little bit extra, right? If you want to do your shopping tomorrow, you can do your shopping, not a problem. But you just have to buy something a little bit extra. If you buy something, for example, a loaf of bread is 20 rand, then you buy two loaves of bread, make it 40 rand, you spend a little bit extra on the family, inshallah, that also, Allah will give you barakat if you spend a little bit extra. Right? If you want to have a dawat also, not for everybody, now don't make it a big thing, big function, but you just call some close family people, that also, don't say it's haram, that inshallah, that also is a means of spending on the family. So if you want to do that also, inshallah, Allah will give you barakat if you spend for the year. But no, don't go overboard. Don't go into the extremes. That's what I'm saying. Spend a little bit extra, right? Within your means. Don't go beyond your means. spend a little bit extra on your family. Inshallah, Allah will give us barakat for the entire Yemen. Wasa ala yali. Now you don't have to buy gifts also. Right? Now some people also, they will buy gifts. You don't have to buy gifts for each person. It's not established to buy gifts. Buy a little bit extra, in something extra of anything. If you want to buy a gift over and above that, then that if you feel that way, you're spending extra, that's also not haram, but it's not something which is established in Sharia to buy gifts. So that then, I know when we were small, instead of birthday gifts, they'd give us Eidi and they'd give us an Ashura, give us something on Ashura. It's fine, instead of buying birthday gifts, but it's not something which is established. If you give the child a gift, if you choose that day, you won't say it's haram, but it's better that you rather not do it. Don't make it a custom. The children also understand, like now what's happening, it's becoming commercialized. What people are saying, Ashura special, Ashura gift. Buy a gift, this Ashura. Spend normal price, 500. Make it 450. Right? Ashura special. Buy it for 450 or 400. Right? That's commercializing Ashura. We don't Ashura commercialize. Buy something small for your children. If you buy a gift, even if you give them a 5 rand or 10 rand, right? Or you buy something a little bit extra. That's all. We're not saying that you go to now be commercialized, like I said earlier. You don't have to go to restaurants and go beyond whatever is required. So that's the third thing that should be done on this day. The fourth thing, now normally everybody stops here at this point. You fast and spend extra. This part here, what I'm about to mention, this unfortunately, I think for whatever reason, nobody really does it. But what this is, it's the day of Tawbah. It's the day of Tawbah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, Ali radiallahu ta'ala narrates that once a person, he asked Ali radiallahu ta'ala that which is the best day for fasting. Best day for fasting, best day for doing nafil ibadah. So he says, once I was sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and somebody came and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the same thing. So he said, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that it's the day we should fast on the day of Ashura. It's a very significant day for fasting. But over and above that, فِيهِ يَوْمٌ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ. It's a day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave a nation. وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ. And it's a day on which Allah will forgive another nation. So one nation, Allah forgave them, perhaps it was the Bani Israel. Right, Rasulullah doesn't specify, muhaddithin, ulama of hadith have given the explanation, passages of the Bani Israel. That's وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ آخَرِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive another nation. Ulama write that it's referring to us. It's referring to this nation here, the nation of Muhammad, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is the day when we should engage in tawbah also. Right. Normally we only stop, we do the first two, we fast, and we spend extra on the family, but our work is done for Ashura. No. We need to do this also. Allah give us tawfiq, every one of us, that we also engage in tawbah. We make tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must forgive us, forgive this nation, forgive us, forgive the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in addition, I think there's a poster on the board also, from the writings of Hazrat Mu'in Spatil Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, that he says it's experience of saintly people, that if a person makes a firm intention to give up some wrong in his life, he makes a firm intention to give up wrong on this day, Ashura, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it very easy for the person to give it up. So with the tawbah, and that's what tawbah means. Tawbah means that you make a firm intention never to return. That you turn away. Literally it means to turn away from wrong. Turn away from something. So you turn away from sin. So that is, we'll make it a day when we seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the past, and we turn away from any wrongs that we are engaged in. We make a firm intention, Allah give us all tawfiq, that we never return, every one of us. We should make this intention, that we never return. And the other thing again, like spending extra, we mentioned earlier, that we can give some charity also. Obviously charity you should give some every day, but if we want, give some, like, there'll also be regard the spending on some people. If we can give something extra, inshallah, we also, Allah will give us barakat for the year, besides over and above what we spend on our families. That also is sadaqah, that also is charity, but gives to some people in need also, inshallah, they also, we will earn blessings. Allah will put blessings for the entire year. Allah give us all tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك ربنا وإليك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.